Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. So, thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for critical thinking.
Let's all bow our heads for a moment of silence. No. No way in hell are we doing that on this show. Not for commemorating or remembering January 6, 2021, the day our democracy died, as CNN has plastered all over its coverage today, all over its coverage of this incident for the past year.
How did democracy die on January 6th again?
You know, it's funny, Pat, because today is a uncomfortable truth Thursday on the show. That's right. We're going to tell some uncomfortable truths each and every Thursday for you. And what better way to reintroduce this segment or this concept or theme, if you will, for our Thursday show, since we're only with you for an hour, than to talk to you about some uncomfortable truths about January 6th, 2021. And I think that's where we're going to start. We're not going to spend the whole hour on it, I don't believe. But I'm going to start with this uncomfortable truth. This is the least worrisome attack to have ever occurred inside the United States Capitol. Uncomfortable truth.
I know someone that would disagree with you.
Who? Ted Cruz?
AOC.
Mm. She wasn't there, Pat.
Oh, that's
right. You see,
right.
She was in her office, which is across the street underneath the tunnel.
But she said she almost died.
No, she didn't, Pat. Uncomfortable truth.
But that's what she said, Andrew.
She is a lying sack of crap. And so, to me, so a wholly unattractive individual because of it.
Also true. What did Ted Cruz say?
I'm glad you brought that up because I actually have the video of it, Pat. Ready?
Okay.
Solemn anniversary this week. And it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol. We are grateful for that courage. We appreciate the selfless sacrifice of the men and women who keep us safe.
Huh. That
may I remind you, Pat? Mm-hmm. 1 year ago today, Ted Cruz mm-hmm. was prepared to go up in the Senate chamber and tell us that the Arizona vote should be recounted and we should discredit the Arizona electoral votes. The words were escaping me there for a second, if you couldn't tell. January 6, 2021, Ted Cruz was, if you want to take the dark view, the I don't know the truth view of January 6, 2021, was part of the insurrection and terrorist attack. He stoked the flames of whatever fire was going to happen. Speaking of which, by the way, how quickly we forget that the fire has happened more than once in our United States Capitol's history, Pat.
That is true.
The War of 1812 started it all. But I digress.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but because I think this is potentially an uncomfortable truth here. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is Ted Cruz playing politics.
Absolutely. 100% him attempting to rewrite his own history. As if he was somebody that was super concerned with what was going on January 6th and that the attack on the Capitol was a terrorist attack? Where are you getting that from? That's my question when it comes to Ted Cruz. What the absolute hell are you talking about? What terrorist group, what organization, are you talking about the FBI in a thinly veiled threat to them?
I was going to say that was going to be my question. Is he referring to the FBI? Because the FBI has been severely implicated in this.
And not in a conspiracy theory kind of way. In a literally the individual who you can see on film being the first person to break the barricade around the Capitol steps, right? Mm-hmm. During all of the stuff that was going on, is a verified FBI agent who also just so happened to be a fake member of this whatever group that was allegedly attempting to kidnap the governor of Michigan. What the absolute hell is Ted Cruz talking about? Okay. So furthermore, Pat, here is a really, like I said, the uncomfortable truth in all of this is that this is the least worrisome attack on our Capitol in its entire history. We have the Capitol burnt basically to the ground in the War of 1812, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, let's say, during the antebellum period, as the U.S. Capitol got rebuilt and then we headed towards the Civil War, right? Mm-hmm. Did you know that over 70 violent occurrences happened between Congress people?
I mean, for back then,
on the floor of the Congress. For instance, Pat, in 1858, a fistfight between 30 congressmen broke out on the House of Representatives floor at 2 a.m. when a Southerner grabbed a Northerner by the throat. In 1860, pro-slavery congressmen threatened an anti-slavery congressman with pistols and canes while he was speaking against slavery on the House floor. July 2nd, 1915. Why are we not commemorating and having a moment of silence for July 2nd, 1915, Pat.
Well, because today's January 6th. It's not July 2nd.
Yeah, you're right. But on July 2nd, why will we not?
Because apparently no one knows their history.
Mm-hmm. Because on that day in 1915, a former German professor at Harvard, Erich Mönter, planted three sticks of dynamite in the Capitol near the Senate reception room. Now, the sticks of dynamite detonated at midnight during a time when the Senate was at recess. Nobody was killed or injured. Pat, January 6, 2021. Was anybody in the Senate, in Congress, in the security apparatus, shot, killed, stabbed, beaten to death? Were there any explosives planted at the Capitol?
There were no explosives, first of all.
Now. I want to be clear. We said at the Capitol. Because there were pipe bombs at other locations. But again, they have never been able to verify who the hell planted these things and why they were there.
So, yeah, at the Capitol, to be very clear on this, there was no explosives at the Capitol. And then as far as the groups of which you've mentioned, no one was killed. It doesn't mean, however, no one died on January 6th. I think it was, what, one or two people?
Two. One of which is Ashley Babbitt, and the other, I forget her name, another female, but was illegally beaten with not a baton, but like one of those collapsible sticks that you're not supposed to. You're supposed to use it for crowd control, right? You're supposed to push and use that. Right. But it is illegal in Washington, D.C. to use that as a weapon to strike somebody, for a cop to do that. It is 100% illegal. And we have on video multiple D.C. Metro police officers beating a woman to death. So we have two people. Now, Pat, March 1st. Do we commemorate anything on March 1st?
Well, it's about 2 weeks shy of my holiday, so no.
Your birthday? No.
No, it's my holiday.
Mm. You're a leprechaun? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I have an Irish heritage. Yes, my name happens to be Patrick in full. I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, in which back in the olden days, the nickname for the congregation were the saints.
Okay.
And so therefore I am Saint Patrick.
No, you're not. But I ask that question because on March 1st, 1954, four Puerto Rican Americans fired guns in the House of Representatives and actually injured five congressmen. That, my friends, is the definition of a terrorist attack. Why? Because they wanted independence for Puerto Rico. Now, luckily, every one of those five congressmen survived. And the four shooters received prison sentences. Now, those sentences were commuted by the wonderful Jimmy Carter in 1977 to one of them, and then granted clemency to the other three in 1979. Now, I also ask you about March 1st, because that is not the only day or year in which the Capitol was attacked, violently attacked. Because on March 1st, 1971... another bomb. So we have the second bomb exploded in the Capitol building. Now, the explosion didn't injure anybody, but it caused about $300,000 in that time's damage. By chance, Pat, do you know who set that bomb off? March 1st, 1971.
I don't know their name.
Does the name Bernadine Dorn mean anything to you?
Nope, it means nothing to me.
How about the Weather Underground?
Nope, it also means nothing to me.
Whoa. Yeah, okay, go ahead and look it up, Pat. Please do, because one of President Obama's mentors, his biggest mentor in life.
Oh, yeah?
A member of the Weather Underground.
Interesting.
And this happened because they were against the bombing of Laos, allegedly. Pat, I have another question for you.
Uh-huh.
November 7th, is that a day that lives in infamy in American history?
No, can't say it does.
Okay. Because it should. In 1983, another bomb tore through the second floor of the Senate wing of the Capitol. The device detonated late in the evening. No one was harmed, causing an estimated $250,000 in damage. Done by an actual terrorist group called the Armed Resistance Unit, saying it was in retaliation for military actions in Grenada and Lebanon. Seven people eventually arrested in connection with the attack. How about non-organized individuals, Pat? How about 1890? There was a fatal shooting sparked by a feud between a reporter and a former congressman. How about 1998? Two Capitol police officers, by somebody claiming that the U.S. was plagued by cannibalism and a fictional disease. How about... January 6th, 2021, where the only shot fired came from a Senate security officer through a completely closed door. Indiscriminate firing against a completely unarmed individual. There's not been a single person to have walked into the Capitol that day who has been charged with weapons possession. Not a single individual. To act as if this was the end-all be-all of insurrection against the United States of America is nuts.
But Andrew Coppins, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but who is considered to be the face of the January 6th insurrection. If you knew who I'm talking about, I don't remember the guy's name, but he I think he was often referred to as like the shaman. If you knew who I'm talking about, he wore like the buffalo headdress and whatnot. So I don't remember the guy's name, and I don't care. I don't care to know the guy's name.
You mean that Antifa really, guy?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I don't care about his name. He is supposedly receiving one of the harshest sentences of all of those that were involved on January 6th.
Yep.
And the question there would be is, should he? Probably.
Yeah, because maybe. Every single person that stepped foot inside the Capitol that day broke the law.
Right.
Right. So I have no problem with them being prosecuted for that violation of law.
Right. But I don't know what the harsh sentence. He hasn't been officially sentenced yet, I don't believe. So I don't know what you know, because they're saying he's supposedly going to receive one of the harshest sentences of everyone.
Pat, the story here. The other part of the story is the fact that there are people sitting in jail who have been in jail for a year. Or thereabouts right now.
Uh-huh.
Who have yet to receive charges, who have yet to have any hearing in front of a judge, I have no idea what they're defending themselves from. The United States prosecution of this case, and this is another uncomfortable truth, is a gross violation of the United States Constitution.
Oh, 120%.
We're talking about your Fourth, your Fifth, your Sixth Amendment rights being violated over and over and over again. Have any of the individuals who killed people that day been charged?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So the murderer of Ashley Babbitt, and let me be clear on this. Yes, she violated the law. Did she pose an absolute clear and present danger to those individuals? No. How do we know that? Because they shot through a freaking door. And the definition of clear and present danger would be weapons, bodily harm, mass injury. They had no idea if that was going to happen. None. None. Absolutely none.
But AOC said that she was afraid for her life.
She's full of crap, Pat. So as we talk January 6th, 2021, there's a reason why I brought up November 7th, March 1st, July 2nd. Because bombings, shootings, politically motivated actions, aka terrorist attacks, have actually occurred at the U.S. Capitol. And the only reason you and I don't know about these without looking them up at is because nobody was killed. Now, as we move forward, my question to you, Pat, is will we ever be able to forget January 6th the way that we have forgotten March 1st, June or July 2nd, November 7th? No, we won't. And why? Because we have a media who is not interested in telling the truth to investigative reporting. It's just the truth. And if they were interested in any of that, Pat, wouldn't they have an interest in following all the threads, unraveling every last second? Because here's the reality. If the truth is that the Oath Keepers were working in concert with an FBI agent or this or that was happening, okay? If that's where the truth lies, great. Then we can call it a terrorist attack, right? Because it was coordinated. Now, the only evidence that we actually see when we look into documents and everything else is that it appears the FBI somehow had people involved in either riling up or doing something. Now, beyond that, the other part of all of this is that people have lost jobs, people have lost livelihoods for simply showing up to be able to exercise their constitutional right of protest, for simply just being in Washington, D.C., having nothing to do with the actual physical insurrection. People have lost their jobs. The FBI has harassed them. The FBI has raided homes.
What gets me with this is, what if the shoe was on the other foot? What if this were, Joe Biden had lost and Donald Trump had won re-election? What if the shoe was on the other foot?
Mm-hmm. No, that's my point, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is my point, is that regardless of where this leads, we have to unravel the truth. So if you're looking for that truth, I would recommend actually listening to a little bit of CNN. And here's why. Because then juxtapose that to what Tucker Carlson did in the Patriot Purge documentary, the three-part documentary. Juxtapose those two reports and ask yourself how the hell we can get that far apart. And then thirdly, go to AmericanGreatness.com. Check out Julie Kelly's work on all of this, because she is the only one that is steadfastly reporting on what's happening to the people who are allegedly the masterminds, quote unquote, behind all of this. And her reporting suggests all of the things that we have talked about, Pat, all of the unconstitutional things that are going on, the solitary confinement, the maximum security prisons these individuals are being put into for what amount to misdemeanor charges at the very end of the day. We seem to be okay with violating constitutional rights of individuals for political gain. We have weaponized the Department of Justice for political payback. Now, we need to move on, but before we do, Pat, I think before we get into more serious stuff, let's have a little bit of fun here up front in the second half of the show. Let's play a little bit of the bee or not the bee.
Okay.
Are you ready for today's headline?
About as ready for as Ted Cruz to play politics on January 6th.
All right. Well, I'm glad, because today's headline is FBI to host first annual January 6th reunion. FBI to host first annual January 6th reunion. While you're thinking about whether or not that is the B or not the B, folks, I can't emphasize this enough. If you want to help with the concept of liberty, and more importantly, economic liberty, you need to support those individuals who will not insult you. And we're not talking about, you know, you can only support those people who are right wing. No. What we are talking about is you need to support businesses that just simply won't insult you. That's it. So if they are trying to market to you, but on the backside, they're talking trash about libertarian principles or liberty or constitutionality, right? Or if they are presenting as patriotic, but on the backside, no. If they're not real about it, or simply this, if they decide to start playing politics as a business instead of just being a business, they don't deserve your support. But businesses that do believe in principles that you believe in are worthy of your support. A business like American Pride Roasters, whom I happen to be drinking right now. AmericanPrideRoasters.com, historically great coffee. Again, go to AmericanPrideRoasters.com. Support those businesses that will simply not insult you. We've seen it multiple times, Pat, where what will happen is a business will figure out that if they market to this segment of the population that hungers and yearns for businesses that advertise to them, right, that they're part of them, right? If they market to them, they're going to get loyal customers, right? But underneath their breath, they are making fun of them. They are voting against them. They support other causes behind their backs. With their money, their mouths say something completely different while they're cashing your check, right? So that's why it's important to support a business like American Pride Roasters, because they mean what they say and they say what they mean. And they have damn good coffee in the mix as well. So go to AmericanPrideRoasters.com, get yourself some of the Burr Hamilton. It's my favorite of their flavored coffees. I also like Doc Thompson's Bacon Blast. And then I really, really love the Washington. And I also love the Reagan. A Time for Choosing. Go check it out, AmericanPrideRoasters.com. All right, Pat, do you need the headline one more time?
So you're saying the FBI is doing a January 6th reunion?
Yes.
That's got to be the Babylon Bee.
You are correct, my friend. It is the Babylon Bee, Washington, D.C. Special agents involved in last year's January 6th Insurrection Against Democracy trademark are set to reunite as guests of honor at an extravagant gala hosted by the FBI. The event will reportedly feature live music and entertainment with comedian James Corden acting as master of ceremonies. Numerous celebrities and public figures are expected to be in attendance, including former FBI Director James Comey. Quote, "I'm really excited to be relevant again," he said, excitedly rubbing his hands together. According to sources, several private citizens have questioned why taxpayer money is being used to throw a lavish party for government officials. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki addressed these concerns during her daily press briefing. Quote, "Well, first I would say that President Biden is committed to the Build Back Better trademark bill," Psaki reasons. "Therefore, he cares for the American people and, as such, cares deeply about how their money is utilized, so obviously it's fine." Psaki went on to applaud the FBI for all their hard work that cannot be disclosed. The event will not be open to the public.
So wait a minute. Can't you actually see this happening?
Oh, 100 freaking percent. That entire, because whatever group, whatever part of the FBI that was involved in this, absolutely. They'll just get together and gather at a DC bar and have some scotch and laugh about who's in jail.
But here's the other thing. Isn't this kind of already happening? I mean, look at what's going on in the media and what's going on in Congress. Aren't they more or less, because they've kept this thing alive and they have promoted this thing for the last year and they've held basically some witch trials and stuff over this, that it's basically one big giant reunion today?
All right, so I'm going to move on from that, Pat, because I have another uncomfortable truth for you.
Oh, boy.
It is day two of the Chicago Teachers Union strike. Illegal strike, by the way. But here's the uncomfortable truth. Nobody has the balls to call it an illegal strike here in Chicago, and nothing is going to change. Nothing. They're going to continue to run roughshod. They are going to continue to harm students that they claim to care about. And here's the uncomfortable truth. They don't care about your students. They care about themselves and themselves only. They are the most selfish people on planet Earth.
I mean, I don't know that truer words have been spoken yet today. My wife and I actually talked a little bit about this last night. You're right. You're absolutely right that no one is going to do a damn thing about what's going on in Chicago with the teachers union right now, because no one has the cojones to do it.
It's very, very simple for Mayor Lori Lightfoot. The solution to this problem.
She doesn't have cojones.
How do you know?
She got nothing.
How do you know? Did you de-pants her last night, Pat? Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
That is disgusting, dude. No.
Does she not remind you of Christopher Lloyd when he gets electrocuted in
The Addams Family?
No. When he gets electrocuted in Back to the Future.
Oh, a little bit.
Just black.
A little bit. Here's the thing, though. Anyone that is worth their salt in this, that would stand up, is not going to be relevant enough, nor are they going to get the coverage enough to be able to make any kind of difference, because no one is going to, they're going to continue to push the panic porn in Chicago. That's what it comes down to.
That's very obvious. I mean, we have a mayor who has openly said that the goal of their vaccine mandate, if you will, right? Your vax passport. You must be vaccinated to go to a bar, to a restaurant, to an entertainment venue of any kind, right? Yeah, you have to. There's not even a provision in this for you to be able to test, right? To prove that you are not contagious, right? That you don't have COVID-19. There's not even that provision in this rule or law or mandate or whatever the hell she put out, right? Which, by the way, I am actively looking at a lawyer because I am a citizen here in the city of Chicago. It is wholly unconstitutional what she's doing. So if you know of any good constitutional lawyers here in the city that are of a libertarian or conservative persuasion, send this way.
I also want to point something out here. Because have you ever noticed that those that are pushing the vaccine passports and mandates are usually of the very leftist progressive persuasion, but yet they're pushing the vaccine that was basically moved forward and done at Operation Warp Speed by none other than
Donald Trump. Oh, yeah. The hypocrisy is amazing because we can play an entire year's worth of don't take the vaccine because I can't trust Donald Trump, right?
Right.
And now we're supposed to trust the vaccine that was created by the companies in concert with the American government that was led by Donald Trump. But now, because there was a different president at the helm of the rollout, at least the second part of the rollout of the vaccine, it's totally fine. But my point in all of this, Pat, and bringing this up is that Mayor Lori Lightfoot has said out loud this week that the vaccine mandate for entertainment has absolutely nothing to do with slowing the spread, to stopping the virus, or anything else. All it is the stick to attempt to make those people who are vaccine hesitant, quote unquote, I hate using that term, but for those who have chosen not to take the vaccine to do so, you're going to make you feel pain until you say uncle. The big Buddha government is on your throat, not because we believe that the jab will make you not sick or anything, right? It has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with making the community safer or better or anything else. Oh, hell no. You do what the government tells you to do, or we're going to make you feel pain. So the solution to all of this, Pat, and this is why I bring that part of the story up, the solution to all of this is you make them feel the pain. And how do you do it? Here is the rub. And I said this the other day. You don't order out from restaurants that support this. You don't go to restaurants, even if you're vaccinated, right? Even if you've gotten your full 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 jabs, whatever it's going to be in the next 6 months. You don't support a business. You don't support people. You don't support anybody or anything. You let them go out of business. Because here's the rub in all of this. A city like Chicago, a city like New York, the backbones of those cities are the small businesses. And until those small businesses feel the pain, the real pain, not the temporary pain that got them bailed out at the beginning of all this, but the real freaking pain of having to make a choice of whether or not my business stays open or not. Until you do that, none of this is going to matter. And until you take your children out of these schools, they're not feeling any pain. How do I know this? Check this out. According to the Washington Free Beacon, one teacher who has worked at the Benito Juarez Community Academy, part of Chicago Public Schools, commented on Facebook, quote, "I feel no pain. They can cancel school until June and I'll be fine. Been training for this moment all of my life." These are trained Marxists teaching your children Marxism in this school district. These are activists acting as academics. They're not there to teach your children reading, writing, arithmetic. They're there to teach them activism, Marxism. They're there to indoctrinate your child, not into a common set of principles or a common set of goals. They're there to force their politics down the throats of your kids. If that is the attitude that we are having about these kids, right, or with these kids, I can't help you, right? If that's what's going on here, the only way to stop it is to make them feel pain. Make them feel pain. Take your kids out of those virtual classrooms. Take them out of the school system completely. And by the way, 30% of the African American population that was in CPS is no longer in CPS and is homeschooled today. But we need to make that 30% 70%. And watch what happens, because this is the third largest school district in the entire country still today. You don't promulgate the business. Why do you not do that? Because they're the ones that pay the licensing fees and all of the taxes and all that stuff to the city. You hit the city right in the pocketbook when you make and force those businesses to go out of business. And when the fine dining of Chicago goes away, what does the city have left? When you take them out of the school system and the school system no longer gets the dollar for your kid being there, you hit CPS in their pocketbook, in their budget, and they can no longer function. They go bye-bye. And that $250,000, $300,000 CPS CEO job looks rather expensive at that point in time. Because make no mistake, the people in positions of power within CPS and within school districts all across this country are doing your students a disservice just as much as the teachers' unions are. So let that be a warning to you. The uncomfortable truth is you can make a single sacrifice, right? A single sacrifice. Two of them, actually, now that I think about it, right? Pull your kids, if you've got kids in these public schools, pull them out. And then number two, don't go to restaurants if this is the crap that's going on. Don't order out from them. Don't segregate yourself. Just refuse. And here's the reality of changing, right? You want to affect change? Refuse to work with businesses that insult you. Why is it that I can go to Target, Pat, but I can't go to a restaurant? I could spend an hour in a Target store, right? Or 2 hours or 3 hours. There's no limit.
Which I mean, that's been a question this entire time. Why can I go to Walmart, Home Depot, Target, but I can't go to a restaurant? Or I can't go to a local ma and pa shop that's the equivalent of one of those big box stores, right? Why can I go there, but I can't go to a local small business? Why can I go to one of those stores? And in the state of Utah, you don't have to wear a mask anymore.
Right.
So in why can I go to one of those stores? But then in some places, like there are some churches here that are requiring masks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why can I go shopping, but I have to wear a mask?
Yeah, it's church? Ridiculous. And then it furthermore, is. When it comes to this teachers thing, the teachers are bragging about getting sick days back for all the days that they're out. And oh, by the way, this whole situation is supposed to go on until January 18th or until case numbers go to a certain level. Case numbers. As if that makes a hail of a difference.
Case numbers mean diddly squat at this point.
So where is Lori Lightfoot? Where are the CPS administrators? Because we don't have a school board. Where are these individuals going to court today? It's that simple. Get your ass in a courtroom and sue them for an illegal strike, because that's exactly what they're doing. This is a strike. Refusing to go to a classroom when there is no mandate for the closure of school classrooms is a strike by its definition. It is a refusal to work. Get your asses into a courtroom, sue them for that illegal strike and be done with it. Play hardball, because these individuals clearly are up for a fight. Give them that fight, because guess what? They're going to freaking lose. And if you're not going to fight, I am done with you as a parent. If I were a parent, that's my reality. CPS and Lori Lightfoot, what are you doing about the situation? You're doing nothing? Oh, okay. Then you don't have my child in your school anymore. And I will make a sacrifice to help teach my child. Guess what? I have a 9-to-5 job. Cool. Well, guess what? From 6 until 8, I'm teaching my child at home. And from 6 to 8 in the morning, I'm teaching my child at home. They're getting 4 hours of instruction at home every day. Because guess what? That's really all you're getting in school anyway.
But Andrew Coppins, haven't you heard about the new variant?
Shut your mouth. I know, there's another new variant that's found in France, which is weird because it was like 6 months between the last variants found, right?
Something like that. I don't know the actual timeline, but yeah. But you know they're going to use, like people like the Chicago Teachers Union are going to use the, there's a new variant,
and we don't justify their... We don't know what it could do.
Right.
Well, here's a hint. Every single one of them has gotten better and better in terms of its outcomes for individuals. But Delta was terrible. Not compared to Alpha.
Yeah. It was maybe more contagious than Alpha.
Right.
But again... Case numbers do not equate to the bad problems. Stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of uncomfortable truths, though,
mm-hmm.
because we're still seeing this all over social media. We're still seeing this in our media and in our day-to-day lives where people are accusing the unvaxxed that they are the problem. That they are causing sickness and death, right? We're still seeing this. Wouldn't an uncomfortable truth be to the people that are pushing the panic porn if they are going to blame the unvaxxed for all of the COVID deaths and hospitalizations still? Isn't it about high time that we start blaming them for all of the sickness and death for all the people that have gone hungry, that have lost jobs?
Yesterday, I literally broke down actual bombings, shootings. By the way, the 1915 shooting, Pat,
mm-hmm.
Four Congress people injured.
Wait, so our vice president, the first female vice president of the United States, made our Richard of the Week for the first part of 2022.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that. You are a Richard. Oh. And with that having been said, Pat, I think it is time also for us to do this. Getting that fryer going. So let's fry some stories from this week.
Alrighty then. Anti-Trumper Rick Wilson suggests Melania Trump months away from doing online porn.
Say what?
Yeah. I don't know why he would think that, but yeah. Also, isn't he part of the Lincoln Project?
Yes.
Yeah, that would explain why he's saying what he's saying. But all right. Here's another one for you. I thought this one was awesome. The NFL might move the Super Bowl to Texas because California's COVID restrictions are so dang crazy.
Say what? Say what?
When you're trying to protect your interests, especially when you're conducting any kind of like foreign trade, when you're protecting that interest, How do you do that and then not get involved to some degree with other foreign countries?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Especially when it conflicts with those interests. If it's impeding my ability to trade and it's impeding my goods and affecting my products and my people, then we have a problem here, right? So how could this doctrine ever really truly be followed in the first place?
And then not only that, but okay, so if you want a new Monroe doctrine, what would it be?
I mean, could you go down the road of like...
Are you hinting at isolationism here?
Well, I don't see... I don't think you can go... In today's world, I don't think you can go isolationism.
Are you hinting at that you don't want war with China, but we probably are going to go to war with China in 2022 or a little bit beyond that? You know, we might not want to admit it. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, are we saying that anybody that we trade with, if you threaten the freedom of those individuals, like, I don't know where you go with this doctrine in 2022. I really don't. Now, Pat, I think the worst of all of this is probably the 1950s and 20s assimilation pause idea in immigration. And this goes to the heart of the deepest of the MAGA forever crowd, the Patriot Front, which, by the way, somehow showed up here in Chicago of all places this weekend, Pat. Did you see that?
No. But
so there was the March for Life here in Chicago this weekend. Okay. Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people here in the city of Chicago in the midst of some of the coldest weather we have had showed up on Saturday, marched through the streets of downtown. And suddenly the Patriot Front was here. The radical extremist, well, nefarious. We have no idea who the hell these people are, what they're about, whatever. Showed up. But I want no part of what this is supposed to be about. What assimilation pause of the 1950s and 20s do you think is a good idea? Because the last time I checked, Pat, why don't you lay out what that assimilation pause was about?
So it was basically trying to force everyone to, if you're going to immigrate here, you must assimilate into our society, right? You must become assimilated.
But it wasn't just that we would like you to assimilate, right?
No, you had to. It was a forced thing, right?
It was forced Indian assimilation. Mm-hmm. It was the policy in 1950 of the United States American government, by the way, to abolish Indian country, quote unquote, to abolish reservations and just have them forcibly assimilate into, quote unquote, white society. That's what it was about. That I want no bleeping part of. None. Do I agree that assimilation should be the goal of the United States when it comes to immigration? Yes. But this ain't it.
You're basically forcing people to give up their own culture. Their own, not necessarily like, you know, assimilating to the point where you're part of American culture, but like giving up their heritage. Does that make sense? Because heritage is something that is deeply, deeply profound for a lot of people. And that's not something I think, I mean, I wouldn't give it up, but granted, I have an American heritage. So, but if I come from another country and...
that's the myth of assimilation, that you have to give up your previous culture to assimilate to the United States. No, you don't. However, if that culture is antithetical to America and its basic principles of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, yeah, you do. And you have to assimilate.
Right.
There's a difference between cultural assimilation and government forced assimilation. And I want no part of the government forcing assimilation. What part of our society, by the way, are you going to target for assimilation? Are you talking the Muslim population? Are you talking about the fact that we have enclaves in major American cities in which, you know, English is never even spoken? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Then I think the worst part of this is the idea that somehow we need a new 94 Clinton crime bill. Bad, 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 bad. But with that being said, your final thoughts.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And AOC and COVID kissing in a tree.
you. Please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 5:47.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.